You're listening to a Prairie Punk House Companion right here on the Prairie Punk Press Network.
The views expressed by any host or any guest on the Prairie Punk House Companion are the personal views or opinions of the people who express them and do not reflect the views or opinions of anyone else on the show or any company, employer, or any other organization that the individual expressing them has or will affiliate with in the past, present, or future. Hi everyone, you're listening to Prairie Punk House Companion. We are on episode 20. I'm Neckbone.
Hi, I'm Jerbear, and electoral politics will not save you.
Agree. We're going to get more into that, because this whole episode is going to be about, for those of you who don't know, we had a little election here in the United States.
What?
Yeah, I know. The week of November. The actual election, November 5th, the week of November 4th. We are still in that week as we record. We're recording on a Thursday. This will come out on Saturday, so several days after the election. Don't make me do math. We were planning on doing an episode about the election either way. Definitely shifted the focus after the results came out, and I was not super surprised that the Electoral College elected Donald Trump. This is what I'd feared. This is what I kept telling people could have a real chance of happening. And just like in 2016, people said that I was being a pessimist and I need to have faith in the system and I need to have faith that people are going to make the right decision. Women voters are going to save us, blah, blah, blah. And I kept my fingers crossed that I was like, man, I hope I'm wrong. I hope you prove me wrong. That would be great. Not only did Trump win the Electoral College, he won the popular vote as well.
First time in 20 years that a Republican has won the popular vote in a presidential election.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and the last time a Republican won the popular vote, we were in the middle of a war that said Republican got us into, but that being beside the fact, patriotism was at an all-time high in 2004. So, yeah, it just made sense. Bush was already a sitting president, so it made sense he won the popular vote. Didn't vote for him back then.
I didn't vote.
I did, I think.
I didn't vote then. I didn't vote in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
I voted in 96 because it was a requirement for my government class, my senior high school government class.
Interesting.
Because there was election during that semester, you had to go vote. I don't remember who I voted for. It wasn't Bill Clinton, and it fucking sure shit wasn't Bob Dole.
Oh, you didn't vote for Bob Dole? Kansas's native son, Bob Dole?
My favorite thing about that election was Norm Macdonald doing a Bob Dole impression, which is just was just Norm Macdonald announcing that he was Bob Dole.
Yeah.
Bob Dole.
While holding a pen.
I'm Bob Dole.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was it. I didn't vote in 2000 election because I had my permanent address at my mom's house in Wichita, and I was living in Lawrence, and I also didn't give a fuck.
Mm-hmm.
Because Al Gore is a clown. It was weird how many people on the liberal side of politics supported him when I remembered him as the vice president being a clown, and I remembered his wife starting the PMRC. PMRC, yeah. And thought that it was ridiculous that anyone claiming to care about freedom would support him. 2004 was pointless to me. It was still a joke. 2008, I got sucked in by Obama.
Yep.
And voted for him. I was pretty moved the night that he won. Just because I didn't think it was really possible for a black man to win presidency, and he did, and I thought that actually meant something. Mm-hmm. And I believed in his hope and change message. That optimism only lasted about a year when he killed the public option.
Yeah.
And I've been pretty dejected and jaded and pessimistic ever since then. You know, 2016, the Democratic Party establishment cost the election and got Trump elected by being completely ineffectual, biased, undemocratic, and shitty. Mm-hmm. And they did that in 2020, and they did that again this year.
Yeah.
And I didn't want Trump to win. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be terrible. But also, Democrats didn't deserve to win because they've been a fucking shit show for 40 years.
As usual, they didn't really offer much other than vibes. Yeah, and just to give a little bit of my political background, too, I did vote in 1996 as well. 1996 was the first year I was legally able to vote. In 1992, I really wanted to vote for George H.W. Bush. And I was really, really bummed that I couldn't. I was devastated when he lost that election. As I said before, I was, you know, my dad and I used to listen to Rush Limbaugh together. And I really, really just was obsessed with the Republican Party at that time. In 1996, I almost voted for Bob Dole because he was from Kansas. I'd kind of started a more liberal shift because of, you know, I hung out with a lot of people who were not conservative, and I kind of started to see other points of view, and then that's kind of when I became a liberal. I ended up voting for Bill Clinton in the end, and that kind of started me on my path to being a liberal. Honestly, one of the main reasons I wanted to vote for Bob Dole was because he was from Kansas. That was really it. I couldn't have named a single policy that he had. And this is a great example of voters being uninformed and voting on things like that. He was from Kansas, so I thought I liked him. But I ended up voting for Bill Clinton. In 2000, I voted for Nader. 2004, I voted for Kerry. And in 2008, I jumped on the Obama train just like everybody else did. I was living in Chicago at the time, and so when he won in 2008, I was in Grant Park while he was on the stage and announced his victory. So I was there for that. It was very exciting. There was a lot of great energy in the atmosphere, and I was on that train, man. I was at that point pretty much a patriotic liberal Democrat. That was kind of what I identified as. I was a flag waving liberal, and I was on that Obama train, man. In 2012, it was starting to become a little disenfranchised, but I still voted for Obama anyway. And then in 2016, I was pretty much at that point a Democratic socialist. I was a big Bernie bagger. I'd gone a little bit to the left at that point. Voted for Bernie in the primaries, and then held my nose and voted for Hillary Clinton in 2016. And then in 2020, I very begrudgingly voted for Biden. And then in 2024, I once again begrudgingly voted for Harris. And I thought that we could maybe, if she won, work on pushing the Overton window to the left. I thought maybe we could make an argument to her to stop providing Israel with weapons to destroy Gaza. I thought maybe that was a bigger, better possibility with her than it would or will be with Trump in office. And who knows? Who knows whether I would have been right or not? I guess we'll never know. I don't have any faith in the system. I don't have any faith in nation states in general. I think the entire concept is pretty ridiculous. And I'm about to leave the Democratic Party entirely in the rear view, even begrudgingly holding my nose and voting for them in the future. I don't know. I you know, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me eight or so times, shame on me. we're just they're not going to be our saviors. They're not going to give us anything. We're not even going to live under the Scandinavian model with them. We're not going to get that, you know, child care, health care, you know, trans rights. It's just not going to happen even under the Dems.
I mean, it was obvious to anyone with a brain that Biden should not have been the nominee.
Right. And I think it was the right thing to do for him to pull out of the election entirely. That was, you
know. He said he was going to do that. Mm-hmm. And he didn't. And the Democratic Party should have had a fucking primary.
Mm-hmm.
And that would prepare any candidate to go up against Trump.
Yeah.
And that would have given them practice,
mm-hmm,
to go up against the debate with Trump.
Yeah.
Not that Harris did a bad job or whatever, but she... I don't understand why... I was glad that she picked Walz.
Mm-hmm.
As a running mate, I thought that was a good choice given the pool. I think it's stupid that they muzzled him and took him off of cable news circuit when he was picked because of how well he performed on cable news, calling Republicans weird.
Yeah.
You know, I think that was some good messaging, and they basically kept him quiet for some weird reason. I don't really know.
Well, it's the Democrats once again decided, you know, hey, let's keep it clean. Let's keep it above the belt. It's like they're going out and trying to, like, you know, use good fundamentals and play a good game of baseball. And the Republicans come out and they're playing dodgeball. And they just keep saying, like, okay, we got a few good licks in, guys, but we got to keep it above the belt. We got to make sure that we play a good, clean game. And you're like, would you fucking stop that? They're not playing a good game. They're not playing fairly. Why are you pretending like you can just go out and use the good, you know, high road fundamentals and that's going to win somehow? It's idiotic.
Yeah, it's funny to me how precious they are about playing fair against Republicans,
mm-hmm,
but they have no problem putting their thumb on the scale when it comes to more progressive and even, like, to be clear, the left has no political capital in the United States. Mm. So when I say the left, I mean people outside of politics.
Yeah.
But anybody vaguely progressive, they shut down immediately.
Yeah.
Or attempt to sheep herd into the broader Democratic Party scope of operations.
Right.
You know, the squad is a fucking joke, except for Rashida Tlaib right now. So the Republican answer to the failure of neoliberalism is Trump.
Yeah.
He is in direct opposition to neoliberal policies, and what he offers is fascism.
Yeah.
The Democratic Party's answer to neoliberal failure could have been Bernie Sanders,
mm-hmm,
and other squad members. But instead, they doubled down on neoliberalism, and they're basically the Republican Party of the 80s and 90s.
Right.
So, and that's why I say the left has no political capital, because we have no home.
Yeah.
There's nowhere for us to go.
Right.
The Green Party vice presidential candidate was a transphobic bigot,
mm-hmm,
and also said some pretty fucking racist shit. And, like, I'm not going to support a third party that is barely viable and put somebody up front who says real women shouldn't compete with men.
Yeah.
It's fucking transphobic and it's fucking bullshit. And the Green Party was a fucking joke this year.
Mm-hmm.
It sucked. I'm not down on voting third party. I don't have a problem with people abstaining as a protest vote. You know, like I said at the beginning, electoral politics isn't going to fucking save you.
I thought that we were in a dark timeline. Apparently, we are in the darkest timeline. That's a shame.
Yeah. As far as expectations go, you know, I don't know where I got my rose-colored glasses from, but I thought that Harris and Walls would pull it off by a squeaker.
Yeah.
And, man, they got fucking trounced.
Yeah, they got their asses handed to them.
I was looking at some maps today, and 2020, Democrats gained about 13 million votes, voters.
Yeah.
And Republicans gained, I want to say, like 5 or something.
Yeah.
Somewhere around there. And this year, Republicans had a similar turnout, and Democrats were down about 13 million voters.
Yeah.
So the Democratic base was not energized to get out and vote. You know, and that's, I mean, I think that has a lot to do with Biden and with the Democratic Party.
Yeah.
They didn't have a strong message. And, you know, I don't know how much Israel had to do with it, because the Green Party only got 0.4-0.5% of the vote. And if that was as motivating a factor as some leftists online were saying, I would think that number would have been higher.
Yeah.
Now, it was higher in Michigan. But only in Michigan.
Right.
And the Green Party is not why Harris lost.
If you take all the people who voted for Jill Stein, all the people who voted for RFK Jr., all the people who voted for whoever that libertarian guy is.
Howie Hawkins.
Sure. And all the people who voted anyone else. If you took them all and combined them, they still would have lost.
Yeah.
If they all got dumped into Harris and Walls' coffers, and those their votes counted toward them. Let's say we had ranked choice voting, and for all of them, Harris was their second choice. They still would have lost.
Yeah, for sure. That's just it wasn't numbers. Howie Hawkins. That was a couple years ago.
Oh, I don't know. I don't even pay attention.
I can't think of the libertarian's fucking name right now.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter. Libertarians are fucking
right. Right. If you if you're really interested, you can Google it.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter.
So. You know, one of the first things I saw Wednesday morning was liberal cope blaming the left. And it's not the left's fault. And the only thing you accomplish by blaming the left for the Democratic Party's failures is pushing the Democratic Party further right.
Right.
Because if you blame leftists, then the Democratic Party is going to ignore leftists even more than they already fucking do.
Yeah.
Like I said, the left has zero political capital. You cannot pin this on the left. We have no sway in these elections as leftists. We're treated as rabble-rousers and as jokes.
Yeah.
We don't have political capital. We do not control elections. I wish that we fucking did.
Right.
But we don't. So, like, liberals are doing themselves a disservice by blaming the left and pushing the Democratic Party even further right.
Right. Because like, you're not going to pick
up. You're fucking yourselves over.
You're not going to pick up conservative voters. That's never going to happen. No,
they have the Republican Party.
Right.
Why the fuck did the Harris campaign trot out fucking the fucking Cheneys?
Right. Right.
You're not going to convince Republican voters to vote for you when they have a Republican Party.
Yeah.
You're ignoring your base. You're leaving your base behind for people that don't fucking like you and don't fucking trust you.
Right. Yeah. It doesn't make any fucking sense.
So, you know, on the one hand, a lot of blame goes to the Democratic Party. But after watching some black leftist content they say that they weren't surprised
yeah.
because white people are never going to vote for a black woman.
Right.
And that was something I think that I didn't take into account due yeah. to my perspective on race, which that it doesn't matter, that most Americans are past that. There are a lot of Trump supporters who would care about that, but they're mm-hmm. already voting for him.
Right.
I thought that independents and unaffiliated voters would side more with the Democratic Party.
Right.
Just because we've already been through Trump once.
Right.
And I thought it was bad enough that we wouldn't do it again. But apparently I'm a fucking idiot because America is not ready for a black woman president. And, you know, this is two women that have lost against Trump. So the Democratic Party is probably not going to have
right.
a woman candidate again. If we want a woman to be president, it's probably going to wind up being a conservative woman that gets elected, because I don't think Democrats are going to put another woman up. I think they're going to be too scared. They're taking the wrong lessons away from this, yeah. as they usually do.
Have you looked at the breakdown, male, female, white voters, things like that?
Yeah, Trump was up with everything. Mm-hmm. Trump gained voters in every category.
Yeah.
He didn't get a majority of every category, but he mm-hmm. went up. He made gains in right. every populace
50, in the United 57% States. 57% of white people voted for him.
Yeah.
That's... Yeah.
That's, I mean, that's how he won.
Yeah, that, 46% right. of Hispanic Latino voters. That's a huge shift in that one category. 43% of 18 to 29 year olds has never been that high for that age category for a conservative, at least not in my life, at least not in my voting lifetime, I should say.
Is that men and women or just men?
That's men and women, 18 to 29. Jesus. Yeah, 43% voted for Donald Trump. Guess which generation voted most for Trump? And it's not the boomers.
Is it Gen X?
It's Gen X. It's our fucking generation. 54% of Gen X voted for Trump.
Yeah, that tracks.
Yeah. So that sucks.
Yeah, in 2016, mm-hmm. you know, I thought that a decent amount of Trump's popularity was due to American racism.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that the bigger answer was the economy, because Trump offered something. Democrats don't offer anything ever.
No.
They don't offer any solutions or answers or anything.
It's all vibes-based, baby.
They run vibes.
Yep.
And in 2016, Trump offered something. So that made sense to me. Mm-hmm. Like, I understood. Clinton didn't offer shit.
Yeah.
It was just anti-Trump.
Right.
And, you know, this time around, Democrats didn't really offer anything either. Trump didn't offer anything.
No.
Either. I mean, except fascism. He did offer a lot of fascism.
Right.
But he didn't offer his was all vibes as right. well. It was a vibes election on both sides this mm-hmm. time. And I thought that Harris might pull it off, but boy was I wrong. Yeah. I expected it to be close, and it was not fucking close.
No. All. It wasn't at all. It's the loss of the popular vote and just how many people turned out for Trump, and just, you know, people I've seen on my social media feeds who are just coming out of the woodworks, people who I at least thought were rational centrists, you know, types, you know, like who are just like, oh, they're just kind of apolitical and they don't, you know, now suddenly I'm finding out like, oh, they're MAGA. They just don't really post about it a lot, but they're mm-hmm. super stoked about Donald Trump being president. And yeah, I might need to go through my friends list and start deleting a few people, because it's a lot of the stuff I'm seeing, it's you know, made me made me worried about the next 4 years. Which I guess should, I think that should lead us into our next segment of what should people do, our fellow leftists out there, what can they do over the next 4 years so that they don't get to start? And I saw you share a post, I think it was you, through our punk rock group on Facebook, that was, you know, hey, if you've been sober for a long time, I forget what it was exactly, but like, don't fall back.
Don't let this jeopardize your sobriety.
Right. Right. And I agree. Don't become despondent. Don't give up. Because you know, the Democrats weren't going to save us anyway. It would have been better. Sure. But
what we're getting ready to talk about, we would have talked about regardless of who won the election. Yeah. Because this is how you really make a difference. It's not right. from voting.
Right.
In national elections anyway. You can make a difference in local elections. I fully support being educated in your local elections and voting in them. It's a little different here than it is in Chicago. You've got a much different political machine in Chicago.
Yeah. So, oh yeah.
I mean, I can't speak to that, but where I am, I do think local elections mean more, but even more than that is mutual aid and being a part of your community. Get to know your neighbors,
yep.
have a support system, start a community garden, food yep. not bombs. There's all kinds of shit. And that's what we're getting ready to talk about. And I just wanted to make 100% clear that we would have talked about this if Harris had won, because it's what, yep. it's how you build community and it's what you do mm-hmm. to, you know, build a strong community and help people out, because that's what we need to do, because politicians aren't going to fucking save us.
No, they never will. And that was one of the things I started making this list before Trump won, back when I thought that Harris was at least going to win the popular vote and would probably, I thought she would probably win the election. Yeah. Same as you. I thought it was going to be close. But I started making this list when I thought that, like, okay, well, she might win. There's a few things I added to it. But a lot of this stuff I was going to suggest anyway. Yeah, you're right. Community organizing, community gardens. We have a lot of those here in Chicago. I know other cities, like Detroit has a lot of community gardens going right now. And, you know, you don't have to be in a big city to do a community garden either. I mean, I think that's what's good about Jerbear and I being in completely different places. You know, you're in a small town in a red state. I'm in a big city in a blue state. But a lot of this stuff, I think, can be done either. Community organizing, you know, either, you know, if you run for local office, if you have the time and the ability to do something like that, run for local, especially like local, like nonpartisan offices, where, you know, political affiliation won't get in your way and won't complicate things.
City councils are nonpartisan, right. School boards are nonpartisan. Mm-hmm. County commission is nonpartisan.
Right.
You know, if you are going to be affiliated with a party, you could always be, you know, run for precinct committee person and try and mold whichever party you're affiliated with into something that you
mm-hmm.
want to see in the party. You know, I attempted to do that with the Democratic Party. I was a precinct committee person for 3, 4, 5 years, something like that. Mm-hmm. I just wound up getting frustrated by the political machine.
Yeah.
Here in Sedgwick County, because it's very cliquish and it's really difficult to affect change, because you still have to toe the party line even locally.
Yeah.
So it's tricky. I would never tell anybody not to do it. I would just say have realistic expectations with how much change you can actually affect as within the party. Because right. it's probably not going to be much. But mm-hmm. you, by all means, try.
And there's other things you can do, too. If you are in an area where you are able and you feel like there is any kind of imminent threat, or if you're being over-policed or something like that, you are legally allowed to start a community defense group. I mean, that's perfectly legal.
That's what the Black Panthers were.
I mean, it's why the Black Panthers were so hated, because they ignored the government and took care of people in their community themselves.
Yeah.
They fed people, they protected people, they, you know, did community outreach and made a difference in people's lives.
Yeah.
And that's possible.
Yeah.
For anyone to do. You just get a group together and do it.
Right. And look out for each other. You know, never go out alone. Always go out in groups. It is 100% legal.
Yeah, I just have to interject, because it's really easy to be a doomer and get blackpilled through this shit.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, a better world is possible. And you know, Trump winning is not good. But it's also not going to be the end of the world or the end of America or anything like that. It will probably be a bad 4 years.
Yeah.
It won't last forever.
Right.
And to be honest, Democrats aren't too much better.
You know, we actually do hold the power. Organizing. Unionize if you can.
Form a tenants union. I mean, rent is getting crazy.
Yeah,
Kansas City has a really strong tenants union, and one of the buildings where they are just went on a renters' strike and aren't paying rent until they get some shit that they want taken care of. That is a really, really great thing that you can do to, you know, fight back against unjust slumlords and shit.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't think about that. They just think of unions in the workplace. But yeah, right. If you can talk to people, if you live in an apartment complex, apartment building, talk to those people, see if there's problems in your building that need fixed and unionize, work together and talk to your landlord, because there's power when you work with other people.
Especially in places that don't have a lot of tenant protections. Like when I lived in the Seattle area in Washington state, surprisingly has almost no tenant protections. So the landlords hold all the power in Washington state. So if you live in the Seattle area, you live in Washington or a place that's like that, absolutely, yeah, form a tenants union. They can't stop you from doing it.
Another thing is Trump's Justice Department will probably be more harsh towards protesters.
Yep.
So if you're going to go out and protest, protect yourself. I don't have a ton of experience in that respect. Every kind of protest march thing that I've been to has been safe and legal and hasn't had any problems, but it could be much different under Trump.
Right.
Just make sure that you follow guidelines set by the organizers.
Yeah.
Protect yourself. Don't stand out, cover up your tattoos, don't wear anything printed,
right?
Don't wear any hats with anything on it that can make you stand out. I mean,
no logos.
Black block works for a reason. Mm-hmm. It's so everybody looks the same and they don't know who is doing what.
If you get arrested, you know one word.
Don't fucking talk.
Lawyer. Say nothing else. Trust me, it is the police's job to get you to say something, say anything. They will get you on something. I used to work with somebody who had been a cop, and they told me that they're like, if we get somebody, even if we're not sure if it's the right person, we're going to talk to them until we get something that we can get them on. They don't give a shit. And it is not... illegal for them to lie to you. They can lie to you. It's perfectly legal. They'll tell you anything. They'll say, hey, you know, we'll get you out of here. We'll get you, you know, really, really, you know, your sentence will just be a slap on the wrist if you give us information. They don't have the power to make that negotiation. They fucking don't. They have no fucking power. Any sentence you get is determined by, you know, lawyers and a judge behind the scenes, or in a courtroom by a judge. The police have no jurisdiction to do that. They'll promise you whatever they can. It means nothing. They can offer you nothing. And they'll do anything to get you to talk. Just remember, the police are not your friends. Tell them nothing. Don't talk to a cop. Don't talk to them.
You don't have to talk to a cop.
Yeah.
If you're not being detained,
mm-hmm.
fuck them.
Yeah.
And if you are being detained, tell them you want a lawyer.
Yep. They have to charge you with something to keep you for more than, what's the time limit?
I think it's 24 hours.
24 hours?
But yeah. I don't know for sure.
Yeah. So if they keep you for any more than that, they have to charge you with something, and then it's lawyer. It's your only word. Just throwing this out there. Take it for what you will. As far as I know, it is not legal or not illegal for me to say this, but just keep in mind that if you're in a big city and you have the numbers to have a lot of protests, it is a lot more difficult for city resources, i.e. police officers, to break up 50 small protests than it is for them to break up one big one. One big one, they can send in the cops they have, and they can break that down immediately. 50 small protests, they don't have the manpower to deal with that. They just don't have it.
Looking at organizations that help the community, you know, help out soup kitchens, volunteer with Food Not Bombs, start your own feeding program. I mean, here in Wichita, we did a thing where Saturday we made brown paper bag lunches and took them out to parks and just handed them out, you know, because Saturdays, there's not a lot of options for homeless people to eat. That, you know, the churches don't serve on Saturdays because, you know, not doing church. Learn how to use firearms. You can join a Socialist Rifle Association, Redneck Revolt, John Brown Gum Club, or, you know, just go to a shooting range. Do some research in your area and find one that doesn't seem like sketch, and go learn how to shoot a gun and how to handle it properly. The worst thing you could do is get a gun and not know how to use it, because then you're putting yourself and other people in danger.
Right.
If you're going to arm yourself,
learn
how to use it.
And if you are...
Learn how to handle it.
If you're uncomfortable having a firearm in your own house, but you still want to learn how to shoot, most ranges will rent you a firearm to use for a nominal fee, you know, $30 or whatever. And then you pay for the ammo, you pay for the rental charge, you go learn how to shoot.
What is ammo now?
What's about that?
Like a dollar. How much is ammo now? Like a dollar a bullet?
Yeah, something like that. It's not much. And go as a group. Go as like a group of people. If you get enough people, you know, go to the range. And the Socialist Rifle Association is probably a good place to meet other people who are politically like-minded, who also, you know, either know how to use a firearm or are interested in learning how to use a firearm. And just go and shoot, get to know people. And that ties in with getting to know your community, too. Even if they don't live on your street, you're getting to know people in your city, your town, your county, whatever. Yeah, you talked about, like, don't be a doomer. Yeah, don't be a fucking doomer. Create art. Any kind of art. Whatever you want to do. If you like to draw, fucking draw more. You like to paint, paint more. Write. Mm-hmm. Make short films. Make animations on your computer. Whatever it is, whatever's your bag, man. Like, fucking do that. And if you're not that good, don't worry. You'll get good if you just keep doing it. Like, don't let that get you down. Do fucking art. Let this inspire you to do fucking art about either about what's going on or just shit that makes you happy.
And, you know, I am a political junkie. I watch a lot of political content. And right now it sucks and it's not good for my mental health. So, you know, focus on other forms of media that bring you joy and entertain you. Don't get caught in a doom spiral of people that you like and enjoy just focusing on the negatives. Like all day today, instead of listening to political podcasts and things, I listen to the horror podcasts I listened to instead and watched, you know, or listened to video essays about film, you know, because I don't want to focus on fucking Trump winning right now. It's just unnecessary. Like I'm not going to learn anything new. Mm-hmm. And all it's going to do is piss me off. Better to focus on other things. So, you know, it might sound cheesy or whatever, but self-care, take care of yourself, do things that you enjoy, do things that bring you joy.
Yeah. I fucking
focus on the negative.
I
play
read
video games, man.
Play video games. I read books about space and shit.
Yeah.
Like I fucking like even just today, like I watched like 3 episodes of Star Trek, Deep Space Nine, because it just fucking makes me happy. I just like watching.
Yeah.
So yeah, do shit like that. Watch stuff that you laugh at too. Like I watched a show the other night that I had never heard of before called Detroiters. It's fucking funny as shit. So
nice.
If you have Netflix, watch Detroiters. I highly recommend it. It's only 2 seasons, but I thought it was really funny. So I guess this is going back a little bit, but when you do start organizing, inevitably you're going to encounter other leftist groups. Don't let the infighting tear you down. These little like small slight mild fucking differences, like, oh well, I mean, everybody, and to bring up another Star series, like people, when I hear people arguing like that, they just sound like Saw Gerrera from fucking Andor, where they're just like nitpicking it, like I won't work with them because they're, you know, their political beliefs are mildly different than mine. That's right. That's exactly why leftists never fucking get ahead.
Right. I was going to say, you know, almost every city of a decent size probably has a DSA.
Yeah.
Democratic Socialists of America. Mm-hmm. Now, in my opinion, DSA are kind of goobers. They're like baby's first leftist.
Yeah.
It is a good jumping off point. It is a good place to meet people. It's good. It's a good starting point. You know, don't at this point, you know, it's not worth the infighting. I had some fucking tanky the other day comment about my Iron Front shirt. Like too bad about the anti-communist shirt. Like my guy of all the things to take away from the three arrows.
Mm-hmm.
On that shirt, you're going to focus on the anti-communist one when we're literally fighting fascists right now.
Yeah.
Like, come on, man.
Yeah.
Like, I get it. You after the revolution, you're going to put me on the wall. That's fine. But until that point, can we work together?
Yeah.
Jesus.
And also, highly recommend, and it's going to be tough to fight this urge. Eventually, over the next 4 years or so, there's going to be people who are big, big, big Trump supporters today who are going to have some regret. They're going to have some buyer's remorse about Donald Trump.
Yeah, he's going to fuck the economy. So there's going to be some people that are really unhappy with it.
Yes. Embrace them. Welcome them with open arms. Don't do I told you so. Don't make fun of them. Don't be shitty to them. There's a lot of people who used to be conservatives who've come over to the other side. And, you know, I mean, granted, it was when I was really, really young, but way before Donald Trump. But I used to be a conservative. I used to be a huge Rush Limbaugh fan. You know, we all have to make that transition at some point. That's the culture we grew up in. So don't give people shit. Just welcome them. Just, you know.
I mean, Obviously, if they're saying racist or transphobic shit, don't fuck right. with them.
Right, right.
But, like, if it's just somebody, I mean, at the end of the day, most people just want to be able to pay their bills and take care of their family.
Right.
And most people that voted for Trump just think that he is going to allow them to do that better.
Right.
He's not. But, you know, he sold them the line better than the Democrats did, because the Democrats aren't either.
Yeah.
But you know, that's, I mean, at the end of the day, that's what everybody wants. Mm-hmm. It's just different ways of going about it. Now, obviously, if, I mean, there's, it's so tricky because, like, there's so much racism and bigotry tied into Trump. And so it's so hard. It's really, really difficult to not just write people off as bigots because they voted for him.
Yeah.
But if they are moving away from that, give them the benefit of the doubt until they prove themselves bigots, I guess.
Right.
And work with them, because you can't, we need to work together. We have to work together if we're going to make the world a better place. And it can be a better place. Like, it just takes work and it takes community.
Right.
And you can't build a revolution. And when I say revolution, I don't mean a violent revolution. I mean a political revolution of ideas. You can't succeed by telling half the population to fuck off. So I mean I don't know how to work with them. I don't know, but you can't just completely write them off, because if we're doomed if that happens.
Right.
Don't fuck with bigots. Like, I'm not the dude to work with the bigot to change their hearts and minds.
Yeah.
Like, I can't fucking do it. I don't have the patience. There's that one guy who, you know, had that black guy down in Mississippi or whatever, who has like a closet full of Klan robes, because he takes the time and makes the effort to show them that, you know, their fucking bullshit ideology is fucking bullshit. I don't have that in me. I don't have an interest in that. If I see a bigot, I'm going to say, fuck off.
Yeah.
Like, somebody else can do that work. That's not my work to do. But if somebody is like, you know, I voted for Trump because I thought he'd help me pay my bills. I thought that it would help. It doesn't help. What do we do now? Well, here's how I think would be better to help feed your family and pay your bills.
And
like, these are policies that I think would help.
Right. And if you talk to somebody who is still part of the MAGA cult, don't get into a debate with them. Don't sit there trying to spout facts, figures, numbers, anything like that. They're not going to listen. All you can do, the best thing you can do, especially if they don't know where you stand, if they're just talking to you and they have no background on you, just start asking them questions, not in a challenging way. Ask them questions as if you're actually interested. Ask them really fucking tough questions that they're not going to be able to answer. Come up with some questions that you can ask them that they are not going to be able to answer. That's the best thing you can do. Debating with them is a waste of time. It is a waste of breath.
I fucking hate debates because, like, my personality is, I'm not competitive. I want to learn.
Yeah.
And I want to talk. So I love discussions. I will discuss anything with anyone as long as it stays cordial and in good faith.
Yeah.
And, you know, even if it gets a little heated or whatever, but I'm not trying to win an argument. I'm trying to have a discussion to understand where people are coming from and hopefully allow them to understand where I'm coming from as well.
Yeah.
I don't like debates because it's not constructive.
Right.
It's destructive. It's pitting people against one another when we need to unify.
Yeah. and there's a good chance that, you know, sorry, I'm going to go into doomer mode a little bit here. So apologize for that. And you know what? If it turns out that I'm wrong about all this, this next part, then you can just email me 4 years from now and be like, you're really a pessimist and you were wrong about that. And I'll accept that because I hope I am. But things are going to get a lot worse for a lot of marginalized groups, especially and including trans people, black people, people of color in general, the LGBTQ community in general, immigrants, your fellow leftists. I mean, pick a fucking group.
It can be as easy as seeing one of your marginalized friends on social media getting attacked.
Yeah.
To just, you don't have to protect them. Just jump in and tell whoever's being a shithead to shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Like you don't have to do anything more than that. Just tell them to shut the fuck
up. And
your opinion doesn't mean fucking shit. Get
to the fuck anyone, out of here. And just so you know, to anyone listening to this who potentially could get pregnant and doesn't want to be, it is legal under Canadian and Mexican law to go to Canada or Mexico and receive an abortion. And they will take care of you, according to a 2022 Guardian article anyway. So double check on that. It's been 2 years. So
men and people with testes, if you do not want to be a parent, get a vasectomy.
Yeah.
It's fucking easy. Mm-hmm. It's chill. It's in and out. I've had one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I drove myself there. I drove myself home. I put some frozen peas on my junk for 2 days and played video games, and I was golden.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, if that's something.
If you don't want to be a dad, do something about it. Don't put the onus on the women.
Right. Yeah, agree 100%. There are things we can do. I am very worried that abortion is going to become federally illegal across the board. Another thing I wanted to point out to you that we haven't talked about much is the environmental impact. You know, the Republican campaign slogan, one of their slogans that Trump has kind of revived was the drill, baby, drill. It was 2008. Republican campaign slogan, but Trump has brought it back. I mean, you can forget anything about anything about the Green New Deal. That's gone. EPA is probably going to get gutted, and they're going to be drilling for fossil fuels wherever they can. We're not going to be exploring alternative energy or technologies. That is unlikely to happen. And they're probably going to be drilling a lot on native land. And yes, I understand it's all native land. No, I get that. But I mean, land that is still today owned by Native Americans, because a lot of it is up in places like North Dakota, South Dakota, where there are reservations. You know, as before, you know, do everything you can. Our audience, like us, is probably predominantly white, predominantly male. You use your privilege. Show up, and offer to help. And you know, offer to help in a way where, you know, advice for cisgender straight white men, when you go into a space that is not your own, ask, how can I help? What can I do? You know, don't just jump into a lead role. That's not your space. You're not the subject matter expert there. But yeah, so I am worried about the environmental impact. And I would never suggest breaking the law. Don't, you know, I am not advocating for breaking the law, basically. I think I'll let Lieutenant Valeris from Star Trek explain it, because I am not advocating for this. I am just playing a clip from Star Trek VI, The Undiscovered Country, totally out of context, but I would never suggest anything like this. Just so you know, I don't advocate for breaking the law.
Where do we report back at once?
We cannot abandon Captain Kirk and Dr. McCoy.
Of course not. 400 years ago on the planet Earth, workers who felt their livelihood threatened by automation
flung their wooden shoes called sabots into the machines to stop them. Hence the word sabotage.
But yeah, organizations, like we said earlier, organizations that you can always join. IWW is good if you are eligible to join them. Recommend IWW. The SRA, which is the Socialist Rifle Association, Redneck Revolt. If you have a Food Not Bombs in your area, you can volunteer with them if that's more your speed. Or you can do all of those things.
Do you have any content creators that you want to shout out?
There's a few people.
Good to listen to.
Yeah, there's a few people I want to shout out. And earlier you were talking about a black content creator. I'm guessing that you'd watched FD Signifier's video. Is that the one you're talking
about? Yeah, that's who I was talking about. Yeah. So FD Signifier.
Yeah, highly recommend him. Great videos.
I think he's one of the most important voices on the left right now, in my opinion, because he's reaching out to young men who the left is failing with. You know, young men are heading towards people like Joe fucking Rogan and whoever that sex trafficker is over in Poland. Andrew Tate,
yeah,
Jesus. Jordan Peterson, shit like that.
Yeah,
and one of the things FD does is try to reach out to young men, particularly in the black community. But you know, it's applicable to anyone, really.
Right.
Lil Bill does the same thing.
Yeah.
Yep.
Great channel.
Olami Aloran is a Jamaican immigrant. Who is a lawyer, I believe, in New York City. She is very much at risk of being deported. She does some really good content. I think it's important to hear her voice.
Yeah.
And what she is saying. And you know, there's standards like the podcast Citation Needed. They basically do critiques of the media. You know, they do a lot of really good content. I watch Breaking Points, which is a little bit centristy, but you know, Crystal Ball is left adjacent. Cigar and Jetty is a conservative, and they talk about issues, and it's interesting to hear both sides, because I think it is important to hear what the right wing is saying, even though I don't fucking agree with any of them.
Yeah.
But it's more palatable there because it's not an echo chamber. It's actually, you know, someone with decent politics talking to someone with terrible politics. So,
yeah.
It's not just, you know, it's not just an echo chamber of hate and,
right,
and terrible policies. So it's a little more interesting. That's all I can think of right now, really.
If you want to know more about being on the left and the trans experience of being on the left, I recommend Philosophy Tube, Cat Black, and Jesse Gender. Jesse Gender being a fellow Trekkie, so that's how I discovered her. She's like an anarchist Trekkie. I don't know. Check out her channel, especially if you like Star Trek.
Yeah, nice. Mexi is a Canadian. She used to do quite a bit of content. She doesn't do much anymore, but she's some of the stuff she said really made me change my mind about how aggressive I was towards conservatism or conservatives rather. About how, you know, if you want to build a successful movement, you have to reach everyone else, because what happens after the quote-unquote revolution if you've, you know, isolated half the population because you don't agree with their politics? How are you going to move forward? And
would you say, how are you going to build luxury space communism?
Yes, how are you going to build luxury space communism if you have pissed off half the population?
Right, exactly.
You have to try and reach out and win them over with your ideas. And you know, it won't work for everyone, but you can do it without being a fucking asshole.
Right. Yeah. but yeah, this is not a time to shut down. It's not a time to lash out. It's not a time to seek vengeance or any shit like that. It's time to organize. It's time to create art. It's time to look at other people's art.
I remember. I'm going to get a Sacco and Vanzetti tattoo because that's going to be fun.
Just remember, people, in 2020, I know a lot of people thought that Biden was going to be our savior, that he had saved democracy. Joe Biden was not our savior. The next Dem, whether it's they run Harris again or somebody else, it doesn't matter. Whoever they run, even if they win, they're not going to be our savior either. Even if they win, even if the next 4 years is just another 4 years of Trump farting around and firing people and not much happens, even if the Democrats get back in office in 2028, which is honestly at this point the best case scenario, we need to work to shift the Overton window back to the left. So don't, in 2028, originally I wrote this as this year, but in 2028, if the Democrats do win, don't rest on your laurels.
The fight never stops.
It never stops.
It never stops. You always have to keep working.
Yeah.
Because the job is never done.
Mm-hmm.
There can always be more freedom to get.
Yeah, I do kind of want to, I want to end this episode on a great quote from another sci-fi writer called Ursula K. Le Guin. If any of you are familiar with her, she was a leftist science fiction writer and she was fucking amazing, wrote a lot of great sci-fi. You can find her books at the library, honestly, you can read them for free. But she said, one of the quotes that really stuck out to me, one of the quotes that actually helped move me further to the left, was, we live in capitalism. Its power seems inescapable. So did the divine right of kings. Any human power can be resisted and changed by human beings. Resistance and change often begin in art, and very often in our art, the art of words. So, yeah, just remember, there was a time a few hundred years ago where if you told people that we would live in a world that just wasn't ruled by kings, they would have laughed their asses off at that. They couldn't have imagined a world where even the mild amount of democracy we have existed.
You know, if you fucking need somebody to talk to, or if you're scared or whatever, you can always reach out to one of us.
Yeah.
Well, listen, I don't know. I mean, our ability to do actions might be limited, but we're definitely here to listen, to offer advice, to do what we can to help if you're in need or just need somebody to talk to.
Absolutely. You can contact us, go to our website. Our email address is on the contact section. You can email us anytime. You can reach out to us on our social media page. Our website is www.prairiepunkpress.com. You can find all of our socials there. We did the link that goes to our Twitter/X account actually now just goes to an article about how to delete your Twitter. So we don't really do Twitter anymore. And I highly recommend if you have Twitter, delete it. Unless you have a job that requires you to have it or some weird thing like that. I know some people do. But if you don't absolutely have to have it, get rid of it. Don't do anything that supports Elon Musk. I want to point out to everybody who is, who may have voted for Trump because they're excited about some sort of Elon Musk Mars colonization, spacefaring Star Trek future. Elon Musk is not going to give that to us. First of all, Elon Musk would more likely give us a total recall future, which is pretty dystopian, even if he were able to start a colony on Mars, which I'll get into why that's not a possibility here in a second. But let's pretend for a second in our fantasy world that he can start a colony on Mars. He's in charge of that colony. He's in charge of your air, your water. You can't survive on Mars without what Elon Musk owns. It's not like here where, I guess hypothetically speaking, you could walk into a forest and you could find stuff to eat and you could sleep on the ground and you could not die that way. Mars doesn't have that. Mars doesn't have an atmosphere. Mars doesn't have air that you can breathe. It doesn't have water that you can access. It doesn't have a magnetosphere to keep the radiation away from you. It doesn't have any of that. It has less than a third of the gravity of Earth. You can't survive there. So in a fantasy world where Elon Musk does actually succeed in this, you don't want to be there. That's not a place you want to be. You will die or be an indentured servant at best for the rest of your life. And your family, your children, your children's children, there's no way home. There's not a train to catch to come on home. It's a one-way journey, and I would not want to be on that journey. And also, by the way, now let's put the fantasy aside. Colonizing Mars, at least for biologically living creatures, is not a possibility. I guess you could argue that we could try to colonize it with AI or robots or something like that. Sure, maybe, you know, when the technology is there. But human beings will never colonize Mars en masse. At most, they might be able to survive up there, you know, as, you know, a small detachment base of scientists. We would have to have a round trip accessible vehicle that could go to and come back from Mars, and they would not be able to be there for, you know, more than, you know, 6 months to a year maybe. And then that just, I mean, that just makes the journey useless at that point, because it's about how long it takes to get there. I highly recommend reading a book called Spacefarers by Christopher Wojcik, and I am probably butchering his last name, so I apologize for that. If you are one of our dozens of listeners, Christopher, it's a great book. It lists all the scientific facts and all the reasons why the space race is more of a fantasy than anything. I'm not saying that humans don't have a place to explore our backyard. It is likely we'll never leave our solar system or anywhere near it. And it is likely we will never colonize en masse any other planet or celestial body. Everybody, please go to our website, www.prairiepunkpress.com. All of our socials are there. Reach out to us if you need to. You can also find our other podcast, Punk Movie Review. We just did one that released right before Halloween for Return of the Living Dead. And we've had abysmal numbers on that one. So, yeah, go there and listen to it. I think it's funny. And it's if you need escape from all the politics, then go listen to our Return of the Living Dead Punk Movie Review. And it's just us having fun watching a cheesy zombie movie around Halloween. So go listen to that and reach out to us. Hit us up on our socials. Like and subscribe. Do all the things. Ring the bell, whatever. We are on Facebook. We are on Threads. We're on Instagram. Yeah, if you want to know how to delete your Twitter account, you can go to our page and click on our link to Twitter, and it will just go to that article. Yeah, delete your Twitter account. Fuck Elon Musk. Don't support that dude.
All right, I'm going to go fucking puke my brains out.
All right. Cool. All right.
that was my outro.
Okay, do you want me to keep that in?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I will. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.